you counselors that came with us to teen camp. Thank you, Mr. Bateman, for driving the bus. Thank you, Mom, for going with us, and Dad. Thank you also for the sponsors that that gave money. Thank you for your generosity. Also, thank you for the parents for allowing your kids to go. It was really good. I enjoyed youth conference better than what I did camp. My favorite thing about youth conference was the preaching. We did get to go to the Creation Museum. We got to see a lot of interesting things. We got to see artifacts. We got to see dinosaurs, which that was pretty cool. And some of the teenagers and my mom got to meet Ken Ham, which they said that was pretty cool. And we also got to go to a water park. That was my first time going to a water park at youth conference. That was really cool. They actually had a slide that went 150 feet straight down and went right on out. And that was really fun. Really fun. And the favorite message that I had at camp, it was called, "What Will You Do With God's Word?" The preacher spoke on, we have the Bible, what we're going to do with it. And I don't know if it was that message or there was another message. It showed a video of all the Christians that got persecuted from old times to now time. And they showed the percentages of Christian getting attacked and then those that are getting attacked today. And they showed a bunch of Chinese ladies that got Bibles for the first time. And they were just crying and they were saying, "We finally got a Bible." And that really spoke to my heart. I have a Bible, I have one at home, and I have one on my iPad, and it's just, I'm so used to it that I don't appreciate it as much, and that really spoke to my heart. They also talked about how we have privileges in America to go out and door knock, and we have the ability to pass out stuff, tracts and stuff like that, and just how other Christians are really getting persecuted, and that really spoke to my heart also. And that's probably it for my testimony. So let's begin the message. At camp this year, the theme was rise above. All the preachers talked about how we can rise above in our Christian life. The first message was, we are more than conquerors. Another preacher preached on, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. And another preacher preached on, what will you do with God's word? They all focused on how we can rise above, how we can take our Christian life to the next level, how we can be the best type of Christian God saved us to be. Now, the person we're going to look at tonight, he knew how to rise above. He knew how to rise above in circumstances to bring glory to God, and his name is David. David rose above when he killed the lion with his bare hands. He also rose above when he killed Goliath. His family discouraged him, his brothers, and the army told him, "You can't do it." Saul told him, "You're too small." But David said, "Is there not a cause?" He also rose above when King Saul chased him all over Israel. He was hunting him. And then there was an opportunity when David and his army was inside of a cave. Saul was sitting on the ground, and he was probably asleep. And David walked over and cut off a piece of his robe. Well, his army the whole time was telling him, "You should kill him. This is your opportunity. You can become king. You've been anointed." But David didn't. David rose above. He could have, but he didn't. But then again, there was times in David's life when he didn't rise above. David was the man after God's own heart. David was blessed so much by God. How couldn't he rise above? He saw God's hand in killing Goliath. He saw it in all those other circumstances. But the answer is simple. It's sin. The title for tonight's message is, Sin Will Take You Farther Than You Want to Go. Let's look at 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 6. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. So first we're going to look at the reason why David didn't rise above. And it's simple. It's the same reason we don't, and it's sin. But we're going to look at the circumstances that led up to it. First, he was in the wrong city. David should have been in Jerusalem. I mean, he should have been at the battle. He should have never had been at Jerusalem. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." David should have been at war fighting for his country, but he wasn't. If David would have been at war, he would have never had done this. And secondly, we're going to look at, he was doing the wrong thing because he was in the wrong place. David was just lying around in his bed and he couldn't fall asleep. He could have been wondering about how the war was going on. He could have been wondering if they were winning or losing. But sooner or later, he was bored and he just decided to take a walk around his palace. And in doing that, the devil used this as a time to tempt David. I truly believe David was not planning on looking at a woman bathing herself. I don't think he was. But the devil used this as a time to get David. I think the devil was one that kept him up. He knew that Bathsheba was going to be bathing herself. And by that, David looked upon her and lusted after her. The Bible says she was a very beautiful woman to look upon. In 2 Samuel 11:3, it tells us who this woman is. "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Right there, David finds out who Bathsheba is. He finds out that she's married. Now, that should have been the first red flag. He should have said, "Whoa, stop. She's married. I'm not going to think about her anymore. I'm not going to anything else." It should have been done with. But he didn't. And then he finds out who she's married to. She's married to Uriah the Hittite. Many of you know who Uriah the Hittite is, but Uriah the Hittite was a mighty man of David. He was one that cared for David. He was one that loved David. He was one that looked after David. He was one that, when King Saul hunted him like an animal, he stood by David. He fought with David, but David didn't care. David wanted to do what he wanted to do. And one of those reasons is because of, we see in Proverbs 27:20, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Then in verse 5, David finds out Bathsheba's having a baby. It says, "And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" David hears what happens right away, and he says, "Okay, I need to cover this up. I need to get Uriah home as fast as I can." God gave David many opportunities to get right, but he chose not to. In verse 8 it says, "And David said to Uriah, 'Go down to thy house and wash thy feet.' And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king." So, like I said, he got Uriah home, and then he's trying to go and get Uriah to go home, and so everyone that sees him will say, "Okay, the baby's Uriah's, it's not David." But it ends up in verse 9, it says, "But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house." Uriah did the honorable thing. He stays with David's servants. His fellow countrymen were out at war sleeping in tents, and he was going to do the honorable thing and stay with David's servants. Then when David hears this, he has to cover up again. So he goes, and let's see, in verse 13 it says, "And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed, and the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. David goes and gets Uriah drunk. So he not only is trying to cover up his sins, but he uses alcohol as a way to get his point across. But still, God is in control of everything. God didn't let Uriah go down to his house, and Uriah didn't. Uriah stayed. And inside of verse 15, it says, and Uriah stayed, and David has to cover back up his sin again. So David goes and gives Uriah a letter to go and give to Joab. And in verse 15, we see it says, and he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. So David's trying to cover up his sin, and he's doing it by killing someone. He's killing one of his mighty men, one that cared for him. And now we're going to look at how God can help us rise above, how God can help us get out of sin. And I notice three things in my studying that how God can help us get out of sin. First, we can use the Bible. Second, we can use the Holy Spirit. Or thirdly, you'll tell a godly man or a woman, and he or she will come and tell you in a respective way that you need to get right with God, you need to do this. First, I see inside of Psalms where it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God helps us rise out of darkness by using the Bible. If we stay in the Bible, we can stay away from temptation easier because we have the word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible will light our way. If we get away from the Bible, it'll be a dark path. We can trip, we can stumble, we can fall into sin. And then secondly, we can look at the Holy Spirit. The day we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And with that, the Holy Spirit tells us when we're doing something wrong. But if we constantly say, no, 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 I'm not going to get right, we can quench the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. It also says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So God will either use the Bible, the Holy Spirit, or he'll use a godly man. In David's case, God used Nathan. He was a godly man. He was a prophet. And he used him to go and tell David the things that were wrong. And it says that, it says inside of 2 Samuel 12:7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of Saul's hand. Now when David heard Nathan say, thou art the man, I'm sure he felt convicted. I'm sure that right then David could have done one of two things. He could have gotten right. He could have repented. He could have humbled himself. Or B, he could have blamed someone else and lied. We see that all the time. As humans, we're always trying to say, no, it's his fault. I didn't do it. It's his fault. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3, 12, and 13, it says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. David could have acted this way. He could have blamed someone else, but praise God he didn't. He got right. It says in 2 Samuel 12:13 and 14, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. If you get right with God, God's going to throw it in the deepest sea. He's not going to remember it anymore. It also says, thou shalt not die. He'll show mercy to you if you get right. But there is consequences. It says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child that is born unto thee shall surely die. And then lastly, we're going to look at why it's important we rise above. Number one, sin destroys our testimony. In 2 Samuel 12:14, it says, "Thou hast given great occasion, not a little, but great occasion, to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." First, sin destroys our testimony. Then it destroys our family. Ever since the sin with David, ever since David committed this sin, he's always going to have problems with his family. He had a son that tried to take over his kingdom. He had a son that married 1,000 women. He will never be able to have the respect that he should if he commits sin and doesn't get it right. And then lastly, our walk with God. I believe this is the most important. I believe that our walk with God is. Now, you might say, I didn't see where David's walk with God got hindered. Well, in Psalms 51, it's a psalm about David and when he got right with God. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When David sinned, he lost all the joy of God. When we sin, we lose the joy of God. Now, just like David, our sin will have a penalty. David's sin was his child had to die. There was more, but the main thing was his child had to die. Now, you might say, my sin isn't as bad as that. And that's probably true. But still, if you're in sin and you're not getting it right, you're not in the will of God. And when you're not in the will of God, you're not going to want to pray for our church. You're not going to want to read your Bible. You're not going to want to witness. You're not going to want to do spiritual things. But when you get right with God, it goes from depending on me, looking at me, trying to get everything for me, to I'm dependent on God. Where my look goes from self to God, it goes from I want to do the spiritual things. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to soul win. I believe that Christians have truly forgotten the reason why we are left here on earth. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." It also says in Galatians 6:2-3, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." There is so much more we should do for Christ. Christ gave everything for us. There's so much more we should do. But we can't do it when we're living in sin. We need to rise above as Christians. We need to rise above as a church. But first, we have to rise above as individuals. And don't forget, when you choose sin over God, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. When you're in sin, you're going to do things that you never thought you were even capable of doing. I'd like to finish by reading you a song that I like. It's called "Sin Will Take You Farther Than You Want to Go." It says, "As a child I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God in his goodness has let me return to share with his children this lesson I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but surely taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, not leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friend, but only a Savior could love me again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but surely taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay." Remember that. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay.
Take our Bibles and open up to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Andrew. I think rising above is important, and what causes us not to rise above is sin. And, you know, God gives us an opportunity and a way to rise above. And thankful for that, and the Word and the Holy Spirit of God and godly friends. And it is so important that we rise above. And the reason why, it's because it does damage your testimony, it does damage your families, and damages our walk with God. And tonight we're going to continue on the same type of theme, and the title of this evening's message is Rise Above. over and over, there's characters in the Bible. And Noah, he rose above when he chose to build an ark, when the rest of the world had their thoughts on evil continually. Abraham rose above when he followed God's command to leave his family and begin a nation. Joseph rose above when he chose not to be angry with God for his circumstances and to forgive his brothers instead of trying to punish them. Moses rose above when he chose to suffer afflictions with the nation of Israel instead of the treasures of Egypt. Caleb rose above by giving a good report about the promised land and believing that God was well able to help them possess it. Rahab, despite the ungodly culture she lived in, she rose above by putting her faith in the God of the Hebrews and hid the two spies. The children of Israel rose above as they walked around the city of Jericho and was led by Joshua. Gideon rose above when he led an army of 300 against over 100,000. Ruth rose above when she chose the God of Israel and she went working in the fields of grace and with Boaz's fields. Esther rose above when she went into the king on behalf of her people when it could have cost her life. Hannah rose above praying for a deliverer and when God gave her that deliverer, she rose above once again by giving the deliverer back in the name of Samuel. Samuel rose above when he set the stone of Ebenezer while the enemy was attacking. Jonathan rose above when him and his armor bearer defeated a portion of the army by themselves with God's help. Elijah rose above when he was instrumentally used by God to call fire down from heaven. Elisha rose above when he believed he enough to ask God for that double portion. Daniel rose above when he chose not to eat the king's meat. Daniel rose above when he chose to continue on praying, and even though it cost him a night in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they rose above. They trusted God and they believed in God by not bowing down to the idol. Mary rose above when she submitted to God's call in her life. John the Baptist rose above when he had a flourishing ministry, said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Mary of Bethany rose above when she anointed Jesus with a costly ointment. Peter rose above when he said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Paul rose above when, after being stoned, left for dead, went right back into the city. Rose above their circumstances, rising above what our flesh so much desires. Our Christian lives, there's something that we can be conquerors through. So often in our Christian lives, we don't live from that spot of victory like he gives us. We live from a spot of defeat. You hear those characters, you see those stories, and there are so many more we could have said. Hey, they rose above their circumstances. They rose above, and they did what God wanted them to do. They rose above. And it's an amazing thought that many of us, we don't live from that idea that, hey, we can rise above the sin, we can have victory, we can conquer, we can do all these things, but instead we come from a point of defeat. We tell ourselves that we can't have victory over sin. We tell ourselves we can't be a soul winner. We tell ourselves we can't do what God's called us to do. And time again, you see these Bible characters that would rise above. But also you consider that probably almost all those different characters, there was times in their life that they didn't rise above. There are times and opportunities. The Bible says that we're all sinners, that we're all lost, and all of us have fallen in some way, and that's because of sin. In Romans chapter number 8, it gives us probably one of my favorite verses when it comes to living in a victorious Christian life. It's found in Romans chapter 8 and found in verse number 37 when the Bible says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through them that loved us." I want us to understand that there is a reality. There is a reality of our conquest. The Bible over and over tells us you can have victory. The Bible over and over tells you you can rise above. The Bible over and over tells you that with Jesus Christ, you can have victory. You're not a servant of sin, like it says in Romans chapter 6. You're not supposed to continue in that sin. God forbid we should rise above that and have victory in our Christian lives. Here's a conquest. Listen to some of these verses that are told and reminding us. It's a reality that we can have conquest because I know our flesh pushes us. Our flesh desires wickedness. Our flesh desires wicked things. And it's hard and difficult sometimes. But the Bible tells us over and over about the reality. It says in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's not us that's living. It's we're living that life through Christ, and Christ is able to help us overcome the world and the things of the world. Romans 12:2, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It talks about the victory we can have. 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, we can have victory. So often we don't start from the point of victory. We don't understand it. He's already gave us the victory. What he did on the cross gave us the opportunity to be able to rise above our circumstances, rise above our flesh. But so often we start dealing with the defeat, and we feel like we have to live a life that is, we're already defeated, we're already down, there's no hope, there's no help for us. But no, the truth of the matter is, he says that we have victory. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Ye are children, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do we believe that tonight? That is greater that is in us. He enables us to have victory. He enables us to be able to have be a conqueror. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:5. We should live from the point of victory. We should live with the point, I don't have to deal with that sin. I don't have to do that sin. I am not subject to that sin. I am not servant to that sin. God has given us the victory, and he has enabled us to come over that and live above and rise above those things. According to the Bible, the children of God are a perpetually victorious people. We don't always feel that way. We always don't live that way. But it's true nonetheless. Let's look at a few verses here tonight. And I won't be long. It's Romans chapter 8. Let's start in verse number 35. In verse number 37, we looked at, "Nay, in all these things, what things are you talking about that we're going to be a conqueror of? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things," and all what things? The things that are mentioned in verse number 35. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." Not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. We can overcome it. We are more than conquerors. Through who? Through him that loved us. Then he considers these verses, "For I am persuaded." What is he persuaded by? "That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It demonstrates that the love of God and the realm of our conquest, the first thing is the reality of our conquest. We saw all those different verses. It is a reality. Have we reckoned ourselves dead? Have we believed, and do we live from the point of victory? Do we live from that spot knowing that he has given us the victory and that we can be an overcomer, that we can be a conqueror? But look at the realm of the conquest. We're more than conquerors. You think about in all these things, as repeated here in verse number 35, all the different things. Look at the list that's here. Look at the problems that the devil tries to bring us across. He tries to tempt us many ways. There's many attacks on the children of God, and there's many things we face in life. And he says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is any of those things able to make us not conquerors? Is there anything on this list that can take us from the love of Christ, that can take us from what he has saved us to become, that can take us from the blood of Christ and the victory that he won on the cross? And the answer is no. But look at the different attacks. They come from all areas. Shall tribulation? Tribulation is to be squeezed, to feel pressure. This is a common thing that we all face, but the Bible says we can have victory. We can be a conqueror. Shall distress? literally a narrow place. It's meant to be the hemmed by one's circumstances that we are trapped and it seems like we're no way out. Should that cause us not to rise above? The Bible says no. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Even when we're facing tribulation, even when we're facing distress, and continues on, it says persecution means suffering that's inflicted on us because of a relationship with Jesus. Shall that suffering cause us not to be able to rise above? And the answer is no. Nay, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we can be conquerors, even when we're persecuted. And we saw that in the Bible times. Famine, a lack of necessary resources. Does that mean that we're not going to be able to rise above? No. It says, nay, we are more than conquerors. And it continues on. It says, not only persecutions and famines, nakedness, a lack of proper clothing, to the state of destitution. This is also a byproduct of the persecution that maybe the Christians were facing during this time and in this era, especially in the Roman area. He says, no. Is that a reason that shows that we cannot be a conqueror because we don't have the things that we need, because we don't have the things that we would expect? The answer is no. We can rise above that. You see the word peril. It's talking about the threat of imminent and awful danger. Can we rise above that? The answer is yes. We are more than conquerors in all these things. Think about what it says, the sword. The sword is the threat of murder, the cold, hard, death-dealing instrument that set many believers out into eternity. Can that make us not a conqueror? No. Nay, we are more than conquerors in all these things. But how come we don't live like that? How come we live a life that is so depressed and so distressed to the point that it squeezes out our joy? How can we live in a life that instead of rising above and living according to God's plan and not giving in to sin and not giving in to the temptations and not giving in to the circumstances, instead we live down low? But God says that we can rise above. We can be a conqueror. Even though sometimes I know it feels like we can't, the word of God is true. We believe it's true. We believe it enough to say that he saved us and that he died for our sins. We're trusting him with our soul for all of eternity. We can believe in this truth too. We can be more than conquerors. He gives us the avenue and the way. It is our victory, even in our faith. We're more than conquerors not by avoiding these things. We're not more than conquerors because, hey, we don't have the tribulation, or we don't have the distress, or we don't have the persecution. That's not what makes us more than conquerors. What makes us more than conquerors is when we can go through these things in a triumphing way with Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Our pain and our suffering is very real, but many times it is God's plan and it's God's purpose for us to rise above this and allow him to refine us, allow him to remake us, allow him to realign us, and make us ready and use for the use of God and ready for the things he's called us to do. But we cannot do that when we do not rise above. Like Andrew was talking about David in his life, he had so many times he rose above when he went against the bear, he went against the lion, he went against Goliath. You know, the whole world told him, wouldn't have cared that if he killed Saul, everybody thought it was okay. He says, no, I'm not living here. I'm not living for the fair. I'm not living an eye for an eye. I'm rising above, and I'm going to live the way that God wants me to do, and I'm going to respect the things that God respects, and I'm going to do things the way that God wants me to do. Even if no one else understands, even if no one else can figure that out, I'm going to rise above in this world, in this life, with God's help. Because it says, last but not least, not only the reality and the realm, the reason for our conquest, the reason why we can have victory. It doesn't lie in ourselves. It lies in the one who loved us. Look what it says in verse 37 again. Nay, in all these things, in all what things? Tribulations, stress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through us? Through our abilities? Through our talents? No. It says, through him that loved us. The one who loved us. Our victory does not lie within ourselves. Our victory rests in him and him alone. The only reason why we can be victorious is because of the one who loved us. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can stop us from his loving us and giving us the opportunity to rise above. Consider for a moment what we deserve. The Bible says that we deserve death. The Bible says we deserve that second death. The Bible says that we deserve hell. But then we think about a moment about the nature and love of God. We think about the cross. We see, for God so loved the world. We see that, but God commended his love. The love of a God for his children is so vast and so deep and so far reaching. And God wants us to know that nothing can separate us from that love. And because nothing can separate us from that love, nothing can cause us not to be a conqueror. But ourselves and our flesh and what we give into. So Christian, tonight, in our encouragement is to rise above. We see in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If nothing can separate us from that love, and we can have victory because of the one who loved us, what the Bible is saying here is that we are able to have the power to continue to live in victory. But why doesn't it feel that way? Why is it that we don't? So many times I think people have gotten to this point, the normal Christian life is someone who struggles to read their Bible. Normal Christian life is one who struggles to pray. The normal Christian life is one who never tells anybody else about Jesus Christ. That's not what the Bible presents. That's not what the Bible desires. When we do those things, we're not normal. We're not average. We have gone away from what God has given us the opportunity to do. We have gone away from that conquering ability to falling short of what God really wants to do in our hearts and lives. So the challenge, and as I said, this is just a little capsule of the things we heard. We heard things about how rising above is living above what the world would expect. So often that's what we do, isn't it? Well, a Christian, they're supposed to be a little bit better than the world. And they're supposed to just, you know, the world says this is fair, this is okay. And then one of the speakers showed us inside the story of the Sermon on the Mount. You're supposed to walk that second mile. If someone smites you, turn the other cheek. What are they doing there? They're rising above what is expected. A Christian life is not just living what is expected. It's not just living what is fair. It's not just living in what we would consider a normal capacity. The Christian life is a victorious Christian life, one that we can conquer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can overcome this world. How? Even our faith. It's believing this. And I know many times our testimonies are ones of, man, I failed and I falter, and I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful for God's forgiveness. And that's what I have to say many times. But it would be great to say, you know, because of God's power and because of God's love for us and because of what he's gave us to do, that he's given us victory and we have victory over that sin. I love hearing the testimony of someone come up to me and says, you know, that they haven't smoked for a number of months, or I remember when I used to gamble and I don't do that anymore. I remember when I used to drink and don't do that anymore. I remember when I used to foul language and I don't do that anymore. What happened in those areas? They realize, and they said, God gave me the victory. I rose above that, and because I rose above that, now I can live for God. Now, that's great and wonderful, right? Now, let's go to the spot when we talk about memorizing scripture. See, because in the world's eyes, you know, a Christian and an alcoholic shouldn't be the same thing. A Christian and a, you know, maybe someone who smokes shouldn't be the same thing. A Christian and someone shouldn't be someone who's committing adultery. A Christian isn't someone, and all those things are true. And many times it took that strength and it took God's help to be able to rise above the alcohol and rise above the gambling and rise above the pornography, rise above the adultery and rise above these things. It's going to take the same strength and the same conqueror and the same person that's going to help you with your attitude. It's going to help you with your mouth. It's going to help you with your ability to not read the Bible and those things about not memorizing scripture and not praying, those things that we struggle with. We can have victory through him. We can be conquerors through all those things. There is a reality, and that reality is we can be a conqueror. There is the realm, and you see the realm that's found in verse number 35. All those different things, none of those things, and all these things, none of those things can stop us from being the conqueror. No matter what you're going through, it does not have to stop you from rising above. We've seen that so many times in the scriptures when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, everybody else was bowing. They said, nope, we're going to rise above. When everybody else says, we shouldn't do it this way, we're going to rise above. And then you see the reason why. It has nothing to do with us. It has all to do with him. I think Paul understood that when he was inspired to write, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It is Christ who lives through me, who lives in me, that makes me a more than a conqueror. It's not my own. It's not my flesh. It's not me. It's what I have given myself over to him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, yes, I'm living it in the flesh, I live by faith. How do we overcome this world? Even our faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So tonight when we consider rise above, I want you to consider all those different Bible characters. And yes, you could say, well, Noah messed up afterwards, Abraham went down to Egypt. Yeah, you can. There are times in their lives where they didn't rise above. But there are many times that we can rise above. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't live from a place of defeat, saying, I guess I got to sin. I guess I have to be lazy. I guess I can't do this, and I guess I can't do that. Remember, we are more than conquerors. He has made us more than able and capable to overcome that sin and to overcome that thing that we've been dealing with and to overcome that thing we've been struggling with maybe for years. We have to believe by faith that he has made us a conqueror through him that loved us. And with his help, we can truly overcome. And we can truly rise above. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.